What are some of the other issues that you think are important for oncologists to know about? And I should mention this incredible book that you just handed me, Oral and Intravenous Bisphosphonate-Induced Osteonecrosis of the Jaws, that you wrote. It's an awesome book. We're going to put the specifics about who published it and how to get a hold of it in the booklet that goes with this audio program. But what are some of the other messages you'd like to see get out to medical oncologists?
The messages are a couple I've already mentioned. One is treat your patients as you normally would. But this is probably the time where medicine and dentistry needs to get together more so than they've ever done before, in that you need to develop a cadre of dentists whom you trust that you can refer to, simply because the medications you give do have complications that are represented in the mouth, and that you need to develop a little knowledge of what they do and their problems, and they need to understand your problems. So medical oncologists, continue to treat your patients as you would. Do it a little bit more in concert with dentists and oral and maxillofacial surgeons. If your patient develops exposed bone, one, don't be surprised. Two, don't discontinue the medication if you feel it's still benefiting your patient. If you feel it's not, then don't ever give a patient something that is not benefiting them. That's almost common sense. And refer them to an oral and maxillofacial surgeon who can manage it. And that managed situation can go on for a long period of time.
How often do you think this entity occurs and is not diagnosed, is not noticed by the patient or doctor?
Well, I think back in 2002, 03, and 04, a lot. Right now, the dental community and oral surgery community has been alerted to it that very few of them are going on undiagnosed. In fact, we see some of the reverse. We see some diagnosed of that actually represent other problems. I think we all need to kind of go back to the research board and do more studies. We really need to know if intermittent dosing of an IV bisphosphonate is going to prevent this entity from occurring. It likely can, but that hasn't yet to be shown.
Right,
instead
right,
of once
right.
a month, once every 6 months, is there going to get the same therapeutic effect with reduced complications?
What about the new agents that are coming out that are bone protective? Would you anticipate, for example, denosumab, would you anticipate that it would cause this problem, or has it been looked at?
It's being looked at. In fact, I'm one of the consultants in their particular study, at least an adjudicator of any potential cases. Denosumab has the advantage of being a monoclonal antibody, which is reversible. The real problem with bisphosphonates is their long half-life and their accumulation in bone. Now, our particular research that has been very fruitful in the oral bisphosphonates is the serum CTX. Now, the serum CTX is very useful in the oral bisphosphonates because it is not clouded literally by the cancer itself. We have seen the CTX not correlate well with multiple myeloma. We see it correlate very well with osteoporosis and oral bisphosphonates. Right now, we don't know, but we're doing a study to see how well CTX testing correlates with metastatic breast cancer.
This concludes our program. Special thanks to our speakers, and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for Breast Cancer Update.